السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني او كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also sisters who listen over the receivers, once again it is the happy occasion of nikah, and it is appropriate that we repeat some of those things which are discussed on such an occasion. We have different audiences, different times. There are certain things that I discussed in the early days or a few years ago, and I would like to just repeat that the purpose of this nikah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we know that he was given the perfect deen. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed on the plains of Arafat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was mounted on his camel, the Quswa. 124,000 glorious shining stars were in front of him. And on that occasion, the ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed. It was the day of Jummah also. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa razitu lakumul islam deena. You have heard this ayat many, many times. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that we have perfected for you your deen, and we have completed upon you your our favors, and we have chosen Islam for you as the way of life. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is pleased with no other way of life except the life that he has chosen for us, and that is the life of a Muslim, of Islam. So if the deen was completed and perfected, then the deen must deal with every aspect of the human being's life. A perfect deen must deal with every aspect of the human being's life, from the time that he gets up till the time that he goes to sleep. And in fact, I go one step further and say, even whilst he is fast asleep, there are certain things which Sharia discusses. Now, which deen can be discussing even that which you are dreaming of? So Sharia even discusses that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam discussed each and every aspect of the human being's life on this earth, and especially the life of a Muslim. There's a car, ND6035. Please remove your car from someone's driveway. This is definitely not acceptable. You must not park in anyone's driveway without his permission. 6035 ND. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam discussed every aspect of a person's life, of a Muslim's life. Now you may wonder that what did I mean when I said that even when the person is fast asleep, then Shariat even discusses that. Simple example is, a person in his dream had an argument with his wife, so he fired 3 talaqs. So now Shariat will say that this person was dreaming. So in the dream, if he gave even 100 talaqs to his wife, it's not valid. So that's what I mean, that even whilst you are fast asleep, Shariat discusses what will be the effect of your statements in your dream. And then also there is the ta'birat and the interpretations of dreams and so many other things. Nevertheless, what I am saying is that because deen was perfected, it was completed, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received the final message from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, so he had to discuss everything. It's not only namaz, roza, zakat, hajj that makes up Islam and deen. It is every aspect of our life that is deen. Our eating, our drinking, our sleeping, our marrying, our walima, our engagement, our bringing up of the children, our educating the children, our marrying the children, Everything is discussed. Nikah, talaq, khula. Look at the books of fiqh and you will find that there's so much that is being discussed. So how could he leave out the details of nikah? When the important other matters which are of great importance are discussed, then an issue which concerns the person throughout his life, how can that be left out? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave guidance to every party that is part of the nikah team. Every party, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given them guidance. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, there is no time to go into details, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam says, or addresses in very beautiful words, O you assembly of youth, Ya Mashara Shabab, O you young people, Man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. Whosoever of you has the ability to marry, then he should marry. Now that is the guidance he is giving to those young people who are fit, who are healthy, who have got the means to marry, to maintain the wife, to the children. Then they should marry. In fact, in the Quran Sharif, there's an ayat in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the meaning of that ayat and verse is that if this person who is poor, by poor I do not mean that the person does not even have the mehr to give, he doesn't even have a flat to live in, he doesn't have nothing and he wants to go and get married. I mean that he's an average person, but he is not one of those who has a very big bank balance or he can manage too much of expenditure. But if for the protection of his iman, he marries, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala promises that he will make him rich. That means he will provide for him sufficiently because his niyat is protection of his deen and of his iman. He does not want to be a person that is of loose morals. He does not want to be a person that is engaging in zina, in fornication. He wants to protect himself and safeguard himself from this serious sin. So therefore, Allah Ta'ala will then provide for him sufficiently. Allah will open avenues for him. And we have seen it in our lives. How many people, they had just the bare necessities of life, or just sufficient to get married, give mehar and live in a flat, go and work and provide food and drink and shelter for the family. But within a few years, suddenly we find that this person has become a big business person. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he has promised that he will do that. But the person's niyat must be correct, that this is what he is undertaking this institution of marriage for. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Ya mashara shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj. Now again, if we have to look into the books of fiqh, we will find that every aspect has been discussed, that if the person's passions are so intense, that he has got extreme fear that he is going to fall into the sin of zina, then, and he's got sufficient too with him, he's a young person, he's fit and he's got everything going for him, then it is farz for him to get married. It's wajib for him to get married. If he does not marry, then he will be sinful. Then there is another person who has everything, his passions are very strong, but at the most, the passions are strong, but he is not going to commit zina. He's got complete control over himself and his passions. Then for him, it will be told that it is wajib. For the first person, farz, then wajib. And the other person who has got sufficient, or he's got health, he's got the means, and his passions are not uncontrolled, it is the average passion, then this person will be sunnat-e-mu'akkada to get married. Then there's a person who has got the fear, but he's not certain. It's not that he will definitely do injustice to his wife. But there's a certain kind of fear that he's got a short temper, but he can control it. Then for him it is said that it will be makruh to undertake marriage. And then there's another person who knows himself very well. He knows his temper. He knows how his fuse runs short very, very quickly. And he knows how he blows his top and how he does injustice to his laborers and to his staff and to those who are working under him. So if he has a wife, he will do injustice to her too. He's certain about it. Then it is haram for such a person to get married. Now look at that. Fiqh or the jurisprudence discusses all these aspects also in detail. It shows deen is perfect, it is complete. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is the guidance and advice that he gives to those people who can undertake marriage, that they should get married. Why? Because it is aghaddu lil basar wa ahsanu lil farj. It is a means. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make this marriage a means for him to lower his gaze and to protect himself from zina. If the person is an animal, he's got no fear of Allah and the Akhirat and accountability on the Day of Judgment, And if this person hasn't got the love and the muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and the consciousness that my Allah is watching every action and every move of mine, then we are not discussing such kind of people. But the person who has got some iman, he's got some khawf, he's got some taqwa, he's got some muhabbat and love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then this marriage will become a means of him being protected from zina, because when he gets the desire, then he is going to go to his wife, he's not going to go and indulge in adultery. So this is the thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said to those who are young, fit, healthy, and they've got the means of supporting the wife and the children. Now again, whenever we talk about supporting and when we talk about means, then our mind always goes on to the palace of King Fahd, that we must have something like that. Or one of the oil wells of some sheikh of the Arab kingdom. Or that the nikah, to undertake that nikah itself, then we have to have plenty of money. Now we're not talking about those type of means. Sufficient means to marry and to upbring the children and to maintain the wife, give her food, clothing, shelter. So he says then they should get married. Now this is the guidance that he gave to those young people. Now these young people listening to this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will get interested. I'm talking about those young people who are Islamically inclined. They have got akhlaq, they have got character, they've got Islamic ethics in their lives, they've got Islamic adab and morals in their lives, then we are talking about them. Now this young person is going to go and put a proposal. Now when he's going to go and put a proposal, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam now gives advice to those parties where these young boys and young people who have been encouraged by this hadith are going to go and put a proposal. Now the young person has got akhlaq, he's got deen, he's got namaz in his life, he's honest, he's truthful, he's got everything. The only thing, he hasn't got a very big bank balance or he's not very handsome. So now he is going to go and put a proposal. So look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that he does not leave that area also unanswered or unattended or unaddressed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addresses those people now, who are the walis, who are the guardians of that young girl, the father, the uncle, the brother, or whoever is the guardian of that young girl. إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرَضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيضٌ. He says that when these people are going to come and put proposal for your daughter, for your niece, for your sister, whoever they come and put proposal for that you are the guardian of, I'm giving the meaning, then what should you do? If you are happy with that person's character, you are happy with his character, that he's a good Muslim. He's a person of that you can trust, he's reliable. And he's also earning sufficiently. He's got some home where he can keep the wife and he can provide for her the necessary the requirements. Then get her married. Don't delay. Get her married. If you are not going to do so, then it will create widespread dissension on the earth. It will create fitna and mischief and chaos and fasad. And we can see that with our very own eyes, that in these days how much of fitna is being created. So many people, they have to make so much of investigations when it comes to the wife, that they or the prospective wife, or the wife's side, the girl's side, has to make so much of investigation when it comes to the boy's side. Why? Because marriages are not taking place early, it is taking place very, very late in life. When the person is already involved with half a dozen different women, after that he thinks of going and getting married somewhere. So now they make investigations and everybody comes to know. Nothing is secret these days. There's so much of technology that nothing is secret. What is left secret in our homes also, in our businesses also? Even the receiver of revenues technology, now that his web is connected to every department and every area and every business, where there's a motor car that you purchase, or whether it's furniture that you purchase, or anything that you purchase, nothing is secret. The receiver of revenue sits there and gets to know. So when there's so much of technology, that nothing is left a secret. So you think that we can hide our sins? You mean nobody can come to know that with whom we are related, or with whom we are having an illicit love relationship? The friends must know. The neighbors will come to know. Somebody that will see the person in the park will come to know. Somebody that will see him in the aeroplane will come to know that this person was telling his wife that he's going for a business trip. And in the meantime, there was somebody else with him on this business trip. So somebody or the else will come to know. And they will inform this party, or drug taking. This person is taking drugs. So somebody will come to know that he's taking drugs. Now when they will make investigations, they say, no, this person is on drugs. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when you are happy with that person's character, he's not saying that if any person brings a proposal, immediately you close your eyes and say that, well, a proposal has come, so I must give my daughter to this person. Islam is very beautiful. It's got such lovely guidance. Otherwise we would have said that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that as soon as the young girl becomes of age and you find the partner, then you must get her married. So the first proposal that comes, you must get her married. It doesn't mean that. You have to make some investigation to check whether this person has got deen, he's got akhlaq, is honest, is truthful, is not on drugs, is not on drink, is not on vices, is not on other kind of evil, because the person is giving his daughter for life. But when the woman's side or the girl's side is certain and convinced that this person is of a good character, he is a pious person, or he is a reliable and trustworthy young person, then don't delay just because he doesn't have a Rolls Royce, or just because his bank balance is not very high. Because these bank balances can go high and can go low. So then look at the person's character and get them married. Otherwise it's going to create fitna and fasad on the earth. There's going to be so much of illegitimate births. People are getting so concerned now. They say now we must provide homes. For whom? For those who are giving birth to illegitimate children. Now we are going to provide for that also. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's guidance is that. Then again, to this person who is taking the proposal, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that, look, a woman is normally married for four reasons. Li jamaliha, for her beauty. Or she is married for her wealth. Or she is married for her family status. Or she is married for her akhlaq, for her character, for her deen. So he says, what should you do? You should give preference to her deen. It does, again, does not mean that there must be no concern, or there must be no such thing as looking at beauty or wealth or anything of that nature. It's not that. If a person can get wealth also, he can get beauty also, and he can get deen and a good family status, then alhamdulillah, it is bonus upon bonus. But if the woman is someone that after having a look at her, it clicks in the heart, she may not be very pretty, but he finds out that she's got akhlaq, she's got character, she's got deen, she's got namaz, she's got ilm. So then marry such woman because of their deen. Because if she's got khawf e khuda, if she's got taqwa in her heart, then she will fulfill the rights of that husband. And the other way around, if that boy is iman dar, or he's a namazi, he's a person of deen, of khawf of Allah, then he will fulfill the rights of the wife. There is nothing else that will make them fulfill each other's rights. Therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself says in the Quran Sharif, in that ayat which you listen at the time of every nikah, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. So there way Allah ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ and fear Allah, تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ, in whose name you ask for your rights. So you must fear that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and fulfill the rights of others too. Because this husband is going to say that it is my right. This is my right, that you obey me, that you do this, that you do that, that you do that. So in the same way, that wife has also got rights. So this husband also must fear that same Allah in whose name he is asking for his rights and fulfill the rights of that wife. He must be kind, he must be gentle, he must be overlooking her faults and her weakness and her shortcomings. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he put that love into the hearts of the wives for the husband. A strange woman. I'm not talking about those people who court for 10 years and 20 years and then get married. I'm talking about those people who just go, they have a look at the woman one time, and then they make some investigation via the aunties and grannies and mothers, that what do you think of that girl's character, and then they get married. Our grandfathers got married like that, and they lived for 60 years, 80 years with that same wife, and that wife did all the khidmat and the service, and those grandfathers did everything for them. And they lived happy lives. I'm talking about the majority. You get exceptions. Some old people also, they have a very loose screw in their heads. Maulana says, screw in their heads. Nevertheless, so we are not talking about those old people also who are making zulm on their wives. Some old people make so much of zulm on their wives that we just wonder what is going to happen to this old man in the qabr and in the akhirat. Yes, we should not think that zulm on the wife will go unnoticed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Those people who cannot claim their rights, Allah is the one who will say on the day of Qiyamah that this person had this right and did not claim because you were dominant over him or her, and therefore I am now taking the revenge. Allah Ta'ala will be the wakil on their behalf. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that the woman is normally married for these four reasons, so you must give preference to that deen of hers. Because if she's going to have deen, then the children also will grow up, they will have deen in their lives. If those children are not going to see namaz in the homes, they're not going to see tilawat in the homes, the only thing they see in the home is from the morning the television comes on, and at night sleeping time also it's the television, then what kind of deen do we expect in the lives of those children? All the arrogance and all the pride and all the mischief and all the aggression that our children are showing, it is all coming from what they are watching on the television screen. And even scientists are now proving it. So what I am saying is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that then you marry because of her deen. If you marry her because of her deen, then you'll get dunya also and deen also. One thing we must remember, that until and unless our home life is not happy, we can never ever have happiness in any aspect of our life. When the person comes home, if his home does not give him happiness, then he can be the richest person in the world. Then he can have a chain of degrees to his credit. And he could be a member of parliament, he could be in the cabinet, and he could be even the prime minister, he could be even a president of a country, or he could be even ruling over an entire kingdom. But if his home life, when he returns home, he doesn't find a cheer, a smile, a happiness in his home, then you must know that he's already found Jahannam on earth. And Allah Ta'ala gives that Jahannam on earth when we are disobedient to him. Majority of the young people that get married today, first thing they say, we must go for honeymoon. Now there's nothing wrong if they take their wives and go and relax somewhere. But then what do they do in their honeymoon? What kind of films do they watch in their honeymoon? And I'm not telling you just from the top of my hat or something like that, or from my pocket. I tell you because I'm dealing with cases. And many, many young people, alhamdulillah, they are making tawbah. And in fact, many of them, they say that we wish we could have gone back a few years and got married again, so that we won't repeat those mistakes that we made in our honeymoon. So porn films, filthy magazines, and all the dirty things that you can think of, because they think they are newly married. Now the effect of that comes in the life. And after some time, after a few years, when the husband changes or the wife changes, now there is a clash, because we have started off on a wrong footing. So we must believe that Allah Ta'ala is watching us, whether it's on the honeymoon or whether we are right on the moon. But Allah Ta'ala is watching. Even if the person is on the moon, it doesn't mean that he has escaped the sight of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is watching him there too. Because very soon the honeymoons might be in the spaceships, because now they are even selling tickets to the moon. So the person must think, he must have that jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. This is one thing, if only we can understand and keep it in front of us. It's a very simple little couplet, that whenever you are hiding and committing any sins, somebody is watching you from above. And not just somebody who has got no power, it is that person, that being who can snatch away that happiness of yours and make your life miserable. That is the Allah. That is the Allah. That he can snatch away that happiness. What is marriage? It's an occasion of happiness. And it must be an occasion of happiness. There must be laugh, there must be cheer, there must be smile, there must be congratulations. All that is in its place. But when we are going to be disobedient to that Allah who gave this bounty of nikah, it's a great bounty, it's a great ni'mat, we don't appreciate it. Those people who have got a happy married life, then they got jannat on this earth. When they go home, all their worries get drowned when they find their wife cheerful, happy. And when will that happen? Is when the husband is also going to fulfill the rights of his wife. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, his beloved wife, on one occasion she used such a word that if one of our women or one of us had to use that word for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we would say it would be tantamount to kufr. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't say a word, because of the love that is between husband and wife, that the wife has that kind of courage to say such a thing. In case you go away with some doubts in your minds, so let me clear that. That there was a slander campaign against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha by the munafiqs. It's a long story and you have heard it many times, but there was this slander campaign. Finally the verses of the Quran Sharif were revealed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she gives that description of how during those days of that scandal and how during those days of those rumors and gossip, how she cried, how she teared, how she wept A young girl, a young woman like that, but the munafiqs didn't leave her also. Then the Quranic verses were revealed. When the Quranic verses were revealed, Hazrat Aisha was lying on the bed crying. And when she was informed of it, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Aisha, get up now and make salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and thank him and be grateful to him. So she said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be grateful to my Allah who revealed the verses of the Quran Sharif and made my chastity known to everybody. And up till the day of Qiyamah, when they will read in the Quran Sharif, that Hazrat Aisha was pure, she was chaste. There was no such thing in her life, and it was a scandal, it was rumors. But that time she refused to stand and go to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? Because of that little the statement that Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam made, that, O Aisha, and that was again to show the justice of Islam. That Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam could have sided her and said there's absolutely no truth in it, and she's my wife and I know she's very honest. But Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam said, O Aisha, if what they are saying is the truth, then make tawbah. And if it is not the truth, then admit it. So because of this, she said, I'm not going to stand up and I'm not going to do that for that little while. But Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam did not say anything. Now that is that naz we call that, because she's a wife, so she sometimes will say certain things which may hurt the husband. But he has to be very, very tolerant. He must think that she does the washing, she does the cooking, she does the cleaning, she brings up the children, she changes the napkins, and so much she does that if we have to pay her the salary, then we will not be able to do justice. We don't appreciate these things. It is a ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu taught us this. These are the things that my wife does. So therefore I am quiet and I'm tolerating. Yes, in things which are sinful and un-Islamic and against the Sharia, then there is a different rule. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is the advice that he gives to those people who are going to put the proposal, that this should be your criteria for choosing the bride. The time is expiring, a few more minutes because it's a holiday. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then gives guidance to both the parties. Now the proposal has been put, the proposal has been accepted, and the right choice has been made. Now after that is going to be the nikah. So now this nikah also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam advises both parties in a very, very beautiful way. In a very beautiful, simple little hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, inna a'zaman nikahi barakatan aysaruhu ma'una. The best nikah barakat wise is that nikah in which the least expenditure is incurred. Now look at the advice and guidance that my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was rahmatul lil alameen, a rahmat and a mercy for the young, for the old, for the weak, for the strong, for the rich, for the poor. Now look what beautiful guidance he gives. He says, I have said that this is a sunnat of mine. I have said that nikah is my way of life. And I have encouraged the young people and others to get married, those who can afford and maintain the wives. Now it is beautiful guidance that I have to give. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving. I'm just giving an explanation. That now he says that now that you are following this sunnat of mine, you want to follow my way, you want to get my closeness and the closeness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you want to get the blessings of this world and the akhirat. So therefore your marriages now when you are undertaking, then that nikah will be full of barakat, full of blessing, full of mercy, in which the least problem, the least expenditure, the least difficulties experienced for both parties. No need for a big massive hall wedding, no requirement of kunchas, no requirement of all this cards distribution. Thousands and thousands and thousands of rands are being spent on such kind of things which we will categorize as israf. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that reasonably, if you have to call a few family members and get them married, there's nothing wrong with that. In the walima you invite few people, nothing is wrong. But what we are saying is that to go to that extent that both sides are inconvenienced. One is if a person has to just get the family together on some occasion, then at that time they are not going to really go out of their way to buy new shoes and new shirts and new pants and new suits. But when you say it's a wedding occasion, then that lady of the house and the sisters of the house and the whole family, the children, everybody wants a new suit, they want a new garment, they want new clothes, they even want jewelry. And in fact the ladies will require one dress to change for the morning, for breakfast, one for lunch, one for supper, one for the nikah, one for the walima. So now where that person is going to afford 5 dresses? So Shariat is something that is very beautiful, very simple, very easy. I make dua that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless this marriage with barakat, unite their hearts with love and affection for each other, give the tawfiq to each other to fulfill the rights, and may Allah ta'ala unite the hearts of the families, and may Allah ta'ala make it this nikah and all other nikahs a means of good, pious, righteous children coming into this world. And also we must make a lot of dua in these times of difficulties that the Ummah is going through, especially in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, India, which part of the world the Muslim is not suffering. So we must x-ray ourselves and see what is our problem, where are we going wrong. Make sincere tawbah, sincere istighfar, forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala, and make wholehearted and deep-hearted duas that Allah Ta'ala must remove the difficulties of the Ummah. And inshallah we will see that with the effect of those duas after that, sooner or later, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will once again give dominance to those who are suffering, and to those who are suffering injustice at the hands of those unjust aggressors.